Lord, we come to you today grateful, satisfied, and blessed for being a great God that has done great things, a God who knows us intimately and treats us individually. For knowing the need of humanity for the tender touch of a mother. Indeed, you've described yourself as having certain qualities possessed by a mother. Tenderness, gentleness. The things that we've come to associate with mom. And my prayer today, God, is that every mother and grandmother hearing your words this morning would be lifted and affirmed, would be made to drink to the point of satisfaction at the well of privilege for what you've given them, just as Hannah did so long ago. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to be blessed today, moms. That's why I knock myself out on some of these slides today and make them look so pretty. Actually, Vicky, I just want to say this up front. You just amazed me. She does all the PowerPoint every week. You need to know that if you don't. I have no clue how to do it, but she really outdid herself to honor the moms here today and just in some special little touches. But our aim today is to help you, mom, rise up and feel the blessing of your children calling you blessed. I found myself looking for comments and impressions, reactions and feedback from famous mothers, if you could put it that way. Though they're little known, their children are well known. So I found myself attracted to the likes of, Thomas Edison, an inventor of great renown, light bulb and other things. His mother said of him, while she homeschooled him because he was deemed slow at learning by the education system of his day. She said these wonderful things about her son, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison said this about his mother. My mother was the making of me. You think about the one that you stand to a podium and give thanks to, and the credits, sometimes you see it at the Emmys and other places like that, I'd like to thank, and then they go on through a list. Thomas Edison said that his mother was the making of him. She was so true, so sure of me, and I felt that I had someone to live for. I got to do my very best for my mother, someone I must not disappoint, he went on to add. The other was our 16th president. You've already seen his pocket watch. Abraham Lincoln, he used these words to describe his mother. My mother is the person chiefly responsible for all that I am or ever hope to become. Wow. I know those are inspiring, maybe even intimidating for moms. How can I be that kind of person so that my child will someday rise up and bless me in a similar way? Some of you are doing that already. Some are going to be stirred in a fresh way today to do all that you can do. Abraham Lincoln went on to add an observation that applies to every person in this place. He said this, no one is poor who has a godly mother. No one. Well, according to Proverbs 31:28, a godly mother will have children who rise up and call her blessed. Rise up and call her blessed. They may not do this for a while. It could be a long while. Maybe you're at that age where some have dubbed it a thankless stage in parenting. It's endless. It's sleepless. It's a whole bunch of stuff that causes you to dig deep and find the resources to press on. Maybe you're at that stage. Brand new baby. You loved to sleep until your baby came into the world. You still love it, but it isn't happening right now for you. Maybe you're at that early stage. Or perhaps you're in the more satisfied and seasoned stage of seeing your kids grow up, even start to have kids of their own. But a godly mother will have children who rise up. In some cases, grandchildren and great-grandchildren who rise up and call her blessed. That's what your children seek to show you, or at least should. Though the language gets goofed up, I understand, at times. I read a humorous example. Seems a mother was sick in bed with the flu. So her darling daughter wanted so much to be a good nurse, and she fluffed the pillows, and she brought in a magazine for her mother to read there in bed, and then she even showed up with a surprise cup of tea. "Why, you're such a sweetheart," the mother said as she sipped at the tea. "I didn't even know you knew how to make tea, honey. This is so special to me." She sipped a little further. "Oh, yes," the little girl replied. "I learned by watching you. I put the tea leaves in a pan, and then I put the tea leaves, put water in that pan and began to boil it, and then I strained it into a cup. But I couldn't find a strainer, so I used the fly swatter instead." "You what?" the mother exclaimed. The little girl said, "Oh, don't worry, Mama. I didn't use the new fly swatter. I used the old one." Well, she tried, didn't she? And tea never tasted quite the same ever since. As a child, every one of us is called to rise up and bless our mothers. As a mother, your responsibility is simple. Be godly. I said it earlier in the parent dedication. It's really a matter of doing your very best to walk well with Jesus Christ. Nothing will impact, nothing will affect your child more than the Jesus that they see dressed in you. Same is true of fathers, but today we're focused on mothers. To be a godly woman. I remember seeing some words in Debbie's Bible. I every so often don't have mine nearby, and I'm sitting quietly and wanting to kind of get a little time with the Lord. And I reached for her Bible, and there's a whole bunch of little notes tucked away in her Bible. And I try not to look, but I did, you know. And one fell out with these words on it. Children need mothers who love Jesus. Kind of simple. It's how she defines godly. It's my wife's starting point every day. Got to give my kids something that doesn't happen automatically. I got to love Jesus. And it's that picture that will help my children go there as well. A mother who loves Jesus. Clearly the greatest gift a mother can give. And when a mother loves God, her children will rise up and call her blessed. As I thought through this quality, I found myself attracted to a famous mother that's often overlooked, except for one time a year, Christmas. A little bit more now that certain films have captured a bit of her personality at Easter, but for the most part, she's the focus of Easter, of Christmas. We think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Only a couple of times a year, but not too often around Mother's Day. The story is told in Luke chapter 1. I'd like you to just reach for your Bible and turn to page 723 for a moment. And as you do, you're going to find your way to a story that is told of the angel Gabriel. He's identified as the one having this conversation with Mary. And he's coming to her with the news that trumps all news you could possibly imagine hearing as a mother. You're not only going to be a mother, you're going to be the mother of Messiah. Now, you got to understand something. Mary, like women for centuries prior to her, was a single female wondering when that day would come and how that day would come about when Messiah would arrive. Huge hope filled the hearts of people for centuries, and that sense of how will this happen had to kind of drift in and out of people's thinking for a very long time. Only now, Mary is in a conversation with Gabriel, an angel, who comes to her saying, here's how the plan's going to unfold. And shockingly, it's going to come through your womb. You will give birth. You will become the mother of Messiah. Every mother's child is special. No question about it. We saw some little ones today that you open up the mother's heart, whether it's Tracy or Helena, and you see a heart for their children that's unequaled. Their children are so unique and wonderful and special, but none can imagine how special it must have been for Mary to learn that she had been chosen by God. After being told this news, which picks up in verse 26 and goes on for a ways to verse 37. Remember now, she's hearing this as a single woman and a virgin. Then we're given, in a single verse, an insight into why she was chosen. Look at verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was tender and trusting. If you'll slip into the mindset and ask yourself, God, what were you looking for in the mother of your son? The mother of Jesus. I believe we've just read the reason. I believe verse 38 exposes the reality of this very special mother. She was a tender and trusting person. Notice, first of all, Mary saw herself as a servant of God. That's clear to me when she says, first off, I am a servant of the Lord. I'm the Lord's servant. If people tend to describe themselves in terms that matter most to them, then her description is rather telling, wouldn't you agree? Who are you? Is kind of a bold and a far-reaching question. Who are you? Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. God had found in this young woman someone who was a servant, which explains why in Mark 10:45, Jesus came to serve and to give. Could it be, though he is God and he had that mission to begin with, he also had it underscored by his mother? She saw her calling in life first as the Lord's servant. You know, we're here to celebrate mothers, but do you see as a core quality of your life, moms, a heart to serve the Lord? Her love and loyalty are very clear. Mary saw herself as a servant of God. Here's a second observation. Mary was willing to yield to God's plan. God was calling her to be the mother of his special son. And God gave her this assignment because he knew that she would be willing to bear and to raise, and you ready for this, moms? And to release her son to carry out his calling. Bearing, raising, and releasing. That's the work of this godly mother. God had found a godly mother to give birth to and raise his son. As a result, Mary gave God the praise for the privilege of being a mother. Let me show you what I mean. If you'll drop down to verse 46, it begins, in response to all this, after a visit to Elizabeth, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." There she references a primary identity piece to who she was. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And she goes on to express more of this great delight and cause to praise God for the privilege of being a mother. She understood what Solomon said in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward." Her son was a true gift and a reward. Moms, can I ask you, I don't know where you're at in the process. Brand new mom, one with school-age children, maybe teenagers. I have a chart that sort of tracks the satisfaction, marital satisfaction of couples throughout the lifespan, their lifespan. And it starts real high, and then you can kind of notice it decline to its lowest point when that mother is a mother of middle school and high school kids. And her sense of it's not fun anymore overwhelms her. Her sense of, "I don't have a partner a whole lot in this," kind of crashes in on her. And it puts marriage after marriage to a huge test. And I find that one of the antidotes to that, one of the ways to stand tall and stand strong and steady against that sort of what sociologists would call predictable decline in marital satisfaction, is to say, "Wait a minute, on a regular basis, this child of mine, no longer held by me and rocked by me, no longer diapered by me, no longer any of those really special intimate times, but now fussing and arguing with me. Now kind of disinterested more than interested. Now kind of independent more than dependent." You know where I'm getting. How many times then would it bring value and privilege back into focus for a mom to say, "Children are a gift. This is truly an awesome, honoring, the most difficult experience I've ever had in my life, but profoundly wonderful because it's a gift from God." Do you see your calling as a gift? A reward from God to be raised and someday released by you? It will be the hardest thing that you will ever be called to do. I've heard that from so many moms. "Raising my kids was a piece of cake compared to releasing them. Letting them go. Letting them find their way. Just ask Mary. I have a special son here. He's Messiah. But he's not mine to keep. He's mine to birth, to raise, and to release." Just as this mother tells, I came across a piece entitled "My Two Sons." "My two sons, I always wanted you. Even when I was a little girl playing with baby dolls, I clothed them and fed them, rocked them and sang a lullaby, thinking that one day I would have babies of my own. And God gave me you, my two sons. And I clothed you and fed you and rocked you to sleep and sang you a lullaby, and it was wonderful. I wanted it to last forever. But quickly you grew older with sturdy legs and grinning faces, and we made a sandbox, played with Legos and read stories. We learned to ride bikes and mended owies, and you grew up. Now you are young men, both over 6 feet tall with whiskers. Feels like you don't need me very much. And I have to let go and trust God to care for you. But it's the hardest thing I've ever done. My two sons, I always wanted you, but now all I can do is watch and pray that you will let God clothe you and feed you and rock you and sing you a lullaby, and it will be wonderful. To birth, to raise, and to release. Your kids will rise and call you blessed as you show them by your life what it means to love God. I want to leave you with a smile this morning, moms, and satisfaction in your heart for what God has given you, your children. These words are from a mother like you. She writes, "I like children the way they're always full of surprises, how they have a mind of their own from the very beginning. I like the way they come to your hospital room in a plain white blanket, wrapped so tightly and with such precision you wonder if they'll have to wear it to college. I like how they look in their baby bed the very first time you tuck them in it, so small you decided they better sleep in your room. I like the funny expressions they make while they're dozing and how they crack an awkward smile as if they're tagged by an angel. I like the way they yawn with their whole bodies. I like the way they love you more than anyone else on earth ever loved you. I like the first time they reach their arms out to you. I like having the prerogative not to lay them down for a nap and rocking them instead for all 3 hours if you have a mind to. I like how little girls think pink chiffon dresses are divine and little boys wear their cowboy boots with shorts. I like the way little girls prefer umbrellas and little boys puddles. And I like your children. I like how your children like you even better when they're grown. And how, if you're really lucky, they might have children of their own. And you can try it once more." I like that. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like you to bow your heads, if you would, for a moment. It doesn't matter what age or stage you find yourself as a mother this morning. It really doesn't. You might be a brand new mom or a seasoned veteran. But the hardest calling is also the highest calling on your life. And it remains steady. Be a mom who loves Jesus Christ. Your kids, I say this on the authority of God's word, your kids, young and old, will rise and call you blessed because of it. Maybe you're here this morning and you have longed for children, but they haven't come your way. You have an ache in your heart. My prayer is that today God will put in you a vision for how you can come alongside and help others who need your wisdom, who need your love for Jesus, to help them give their kids what they need. Today, God, we come to you grateful for the brief look at Mary, the mother of your son. And the consideration of what it was that caught your eye. Why it was she was chosen. And I pray that every mother hearing your words this morning would be inspired to walk with you, to be a servant of yours, to love you with all of their hearts. And as they raise, may they be courageous enough to release their sons and daughters with a prayer and a hope that they too will walk with you. You're the God that we come to you for even this special moment to honor mothers and bless you for the gift of moms. And in ways that only you can do, God, may you bring inspiration and comfort and joy and a sense of honor to every mother in this place. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.